Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Mem. We are holding on daf Lamed Tesam Beis. We are at Amar Le Rav Acha Bar Abaye on the bottom of daf Lamed Tesam Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and leading this from his mother, Golda Bas Simcha LaShalom. Also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, of course, Baruch should return them home safely. Also by Avi and Esti Goldstein and family, Lezech and Nishmas, their beloved son, Zachary Goldstein, Alav Shalom Chaim Tzvi Ben Avram, my dear Talmud, upon his fifth yard site, which is this Shabbos, his neshama should have an aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to discuss today is we started explaining yesterday the Shita of Rabbi Yaakov, that is Shor Shel Cheir Shota Vukatan, pays Chatzi Nezek, and we have a Machlokas, Abaye and Rava. We already learned the Machlokas, Abaye and Rava, how to understand that Shita of Rabbi Yaakov. So we're going to finish up that discussion today to assess the Shitos of Abaye and Rava, and we're going to have another teretz of the Kasha of that Abaye asks on Rava. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether or not Petropis pays Kofar when the Shor Shel Yisomim kills somebody, and then once we're talking about that, we're going to discuss more details about the Kofar payment when an ox kills somebody. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what if a borrowed Shor does damage. What is the responsibility of the owner, and what is the responsibility of the borrower? Doesn't make it, the Gemara is going to talk about what if it became a muad in the Rishos HaBailim and then the borrower was unaware of that, or what if it became a muad in the Rishos of the borrower and then it was returned to the owner? So what's our attitude about the payment, or the halacha rather, regarding the payment that the borrower owes as well as that the Bailim owes? Then the Gemara is going to have a stira within the Braisa whether Rishos Mishana or Rishos Zeina Mishana, meaning does the fact that there's a Shina Rishos change the animal back into a tam? So we're going to have a stira within a single brisa about that issue, and three resolutions to that stira. Then the Gemara is going to talk about if a stadium shor, meaning a shor ahid stadin, that killed is fit to be brought as a karban. We already said in our Mishnah that he's not going to be chayv misa because it's not his fault. He was trained to do that, and they enticed the animal to do that. But what about bringing the animal as a karban? Do we say sof kol sof? He killed the person, and if he killed the person, he cannot be brought as a karban. And then the perek is going to but the daf is going to conclude with the machlokas between Abaye and Rava. What case Rabbi Shimon refers to when he says that a roveya, an animal that's roveya, doesn't pay kofar? Is it talking about where the animal killed while it was roveya, and still he doesn't pay kofar? Is it talking about where the animal didn't kill? So isn't that obvious that it doesn't pay kofar? So we have a machlokas Abaye and Rava, what Rabbi Shimon is referring to when he says that what's unique about a roveya is that a roveya does not pay kofar. And that discussion brings us all the way to the Mishnah on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. So let's begin again. We are holding at Amar Le Rav Acha Bar Abaye Le Ravina, toward the end of the page, three lines from the end of the page, on Daf Lamites and Beis. Just to quickly summarize what we were talking about to get us back into the conversation, we had a brisa that said that a shor shel cheir shot of a katan, Rabbi Yaakov says you have to pay chatzi nezek. The brisa actually said that Rabbi Yaakov pays chatzi nezek, but then we corrected it and said no, Rabbi Yaakov says you pay chatzi nezek when a shor shel cheir shot of a katan is Nagach. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Is it a short time? If it's a short time, of course you pay Chatzi Nezek. Is it a short muad? If it's a short muad, so either you did a Shmira or you didn't. Meaning if you did a proper Shmira, then it's an onus. You shouldn't have to pay anything. And if you didn't do a proper Shmira, it's not Chatzi Nezek, it's Nezek Shalem. So we had two approaches. Approach number one was Rava, that we're talking about a muad. But the case happened to have been that you did a Shmira Pechusa, but you didn't do a Shmira Meula. And Rabbi Yaakov assumes, like Rabbi Yehuda, that even when a shor becomes a muad, it's not that it's a whole new category. It's a tam plus. The tzad tamus remains the same. You pay the chatzi nezek of a tam megufo, plus you pay an additional chatzi nezek for it being a muad. And he also assumes, like Rabbi Yehuda, that a shmir of chus is all you need to do for a muad. It's not all you need to do for a tam. And therefore, even though this shor is a muad, the tzad tamus b'makoma omedes, and you pay the chatzi nezek of the shor tam, that because you didn't do a shmira meula. And and even though it belongs to a chereshot v'katan, we're mabed an apitropos to collect for a tam megufo. That was Rava's understanding of Rabbi Yaakov. Why are you paying chatzi nezek? It's a muad, but you're paying chatzi nezek for the tzad tamu since you didn't do a shmira meula. So Abaye says, what are you talking about? How could it be that Rabbi Yaakov doesn't argue on Rabbi Yehuda? We have a brisa that says that a shor shel chereshot v'katan shnagach, Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayiv, and Rabbi Yaakov says no chatzi nezek. So don't you see that they're arguing? So Rava would respond, according to Rabbi Barula, Rava would respond, no, they're not arguing. Rabbi Yaakov is explaining the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says Yuchayev? Just the chatzi nezek. But Abaye disagreed with the whole assessment of Rava. He understood that we're talking about a muad, and you didn't do any shmira at all. And therefore, Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda on one halacha, but not on the other. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda that tzad tamus b'mekoma omedes, but he disagrees, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds we're mamen and apotropos for the yasom to collect migufo. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, we're not mamen and apotropos. And therefore, the only payment is for the tzad muad. You're not paying for the tzad tamus. When Rabbi Yaakov says you pay chatzi nezek, it's for the tzad muad shabo. So now we pick up in that conversation. Amalei Ravacha Bar Abaye L'Ravina. Ravacha Bar Abaye says to Ravina, Bishlam La Abaye Damar Pligi. According to Abaye, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov are disagreeing with each other. Shapir, I understand why the first brisa has to be talking about a shor muad, because had it been talking about a shor tam, he should have explained within the sheet of Rabbi Yaakov that we're mamon and apotropos to collect migufo. And you can't say that because there's a second brisa that tells me not that way. Elo the Rava Damar Lo Pligi. But according to Rava, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov do not disagree. Rabbi Yaakov is only explaining Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So according to him, you could explain that that which you pay, the Chatzi Nezek, is only the Chatzi Nezek of the Tzad Tamus, because we're Mamon and Apotropos to collect Migufo. Well, Admukilo B'Muad, instead of saying that the Brisa is talking about a Muad, and you're Chayiv Chatzi Nezek Mishum the Tzad Tamus, why not just say Nukma B'Tam? Just say that the Brisa is talking about a Tam. If anyway, the way Rava's understanding is that you're only going to pay the tzad tamus shabo, why do you have to say it's talking about a muad and you're paying the tzad tamus? Just say it's talking about a tam, and that's why you're paying the tzad tamus. Say either Rabbi Yehuda davle shmir pchusav lavle shmir meula. If Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that it says in the Mishnah later on that a short tam requires a shmir meula. So here, let's say that we're talking about a case where you didn't do a shmir meula, and that's why you're chayiv. V'ilah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and if you want to hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that a short tam only needs a shmir pchusa, so then say davle shmir klal. We're talking about a case where you didn't do any shmira, and that's why you're chayiv the tzad tamus. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov amrecha tamech and moshe shamer shmir pchusa. Because we have this statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that tam only needs a shmir pchus, and as long as you did that, you'd be pater. But and if you're going to say that lest you say that if we were to say that it's talking about a short tam, there would be no chiddush. But there's still a chiddush, because v'hakamashmal and Rabbi Yaakov demamidin l'napachopas the tam l'gavos migufo. Even if we're talking about a short tam, there's still a chiddush. The chiddush is that we collect. Through an apotropos, even though it belongs to the shor belongs to chereshot v'katan. So that's the kasha. According to Rava's understanding, that the chatzi nezek that Rabbi Yaakov is mechayev you to pay is only the tzad tamos anyway, why would you say we're talking about a shor muad and you're only paying for the tzad tamos? Say we're talking about a shor tam, and that's why you're paying for the tzad tamos, because it's a shor tam and you didn't do the proper shmira that a shor tam needs. So Amalei, Ravina responds to Rav Acha, it's true, Rava could have said that it's talking about a short time. But Hachikamar, Chadadis Beitarti Taima, he'd rather say that it's talking about a case which teaches me several chidushim, namely that Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a muad is suffices with the Shmir Pchusa, and that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that the Tzad Tamus B'Mekoma Omedas, and that he holds that Mamidin Apotropos L'Tam Ligvos Migufo. So you have all of these these chidushim if you assume that it's talking about a mur and you're only paying for the tzad tamus. But if he's going to say that it's only talking about a tam, then there's only one chidush, and that is that you're mamon and apotropos. But I would not have known that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that tzad tamus b'makom omedus, and I would not have known that a mur is sufficient b'shmir p'chusa. I would not have known the other two chidushim. By virtue of saying that it's talking about a shor mur, we learn three chidushim, and I'd rather learn three chidushim than to learn one chidush. It is a little bit funny. We learn three chidushim, and the lashon of the Gemara is chodadi ispe tarti taima, that there are two chidushim over here. It's not really two chidushim; it is three chidushim. So Rabbeinu Peretz explains that he means to say that there are two additional chidushim beyond what I would learn if you were to tell me you were talking about a shartam. If we're talking about a shartam, I'd learn one chidush, namely that you collect through an apotropos, and now that it's talking about a shor mur, I learn two more chidushim that he holds like both of the shitos of Rabbi Yehuda. Just one side point over here. We started with the words Amrle Ravacha bar Abaye l'Ravina. It was Ravacha, the son of Abaye, who said to Ravina, Bishlam la Abaye. I understand very well according to Abaye. Now, if Rav Acha was Abaye's son, we have to understand how he's allowed to say Bishlam la Abaye. The Rambam paskins in Hilchos Mamrim Perek Vav Halacha Gimel that one is not allowed to call their father by their name, neither when the father is alive nor after the father has passed away. So how is it that Rav Acha bar Abaye is allowed to say the words Bishlam la Abaye? It's his father. So the Eshel Avram, the Sefer Eshel Avram, he says maybe there was another Abaye, and maybe this was a fairly common name. If your father has the same name as somebody else, Shalom Befanav, not in front of the father, you're allowed to call that somebody else by that name. In the Shinuyei Nuschaos, in the Frankel edition on Baba Kama, he brings a girsa of Ravacha Bar Ovin, that it's not Ravacha Bar Abaye, which obviously would solve the problem that it's not his father at all. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Ravina Amar, Ravina gives another teretz to Abaye's kasha on Rava. Abaye said, how can you, Rava, say that that Rabbi Yaakov is assuming like the shitos of Rabbi Yehuda? We have a brisa where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov disagree. So Ravina says, the first brisa it can be explained like Rava said. They were talking about a sharmua that you watched the shmir p'chusa, and Rabbi Yaakov is assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that you only need a shmir p'chusa for a mu'ad, and the tzad tamus has been Makoma omedes, and therefore you chayiv the chatzi nezek of the tzad tamus, and we're mamon and apotropos for a tam to collect megufo of the shor. When it says in the second brisa that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda disagree, it's not about any of the things that Rava was talking about that Rava said Rabbi Yaakov agrees to Rabbi Yehuda about rishus mishana ikabinayu. What they simply disagree about is the principle of rishus mishana, that if the shor goes from one person's rishus to another, does it go back to being a tam? Kigon to have a muad, meaning the case was that the shor was a muad when the cheresh and the shor were under the when the guy was a cheresh and the shor was in the control of the apotropos, and then mispakeach a cheresh v'nishtapa shota v'higdil a katan, and then the cheresh became a bardas, the shota became a bardas, the katan became a gadol, and now it's in their possession and they didn't watch it properly. Rabbi Yehuda savar reu b'chaskasa. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it's already a muad and it remains a muad. It was a muad tachas the apotropos and it remains a muad. But Rabbi Yaakov sover rishus mishana. Rabbi Yaakov says no, it goes back to being a tam because it had a shina rishus. It was previously in the control of the apotropos. Now it's in the control of this new newly minted bardas, this cherish that was nishtapa. So therefore, it's going to go back to being a tam. That's the whole machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov. But as far as all of the other issues of tzad tamus b'makoma omed, and Shormuat Sagile Bishmira Pchusa, that Rabbi Yaakov agrees to Rabbi Yehuda about those other issues. Okay, new discussion now. Tan Rabban, apotropos mishalim min aliyah, but vein mishalim kofer. If an apotropos is in charge of a shor shel yisomim, he pays for the damages the shor does min aliyah, not just from the guf hashor, meaning a normal payment that you would pay for damages that a shor muad does. But if the shor kills a person, where normally the bailim of the shor is going to pay kofer, the apotropos does not pay kofar. The halacha is that if a shor tam kills a person, Beis Din has to kill the shor, and the bailim does not have to pay. Pasuk says v'chiyigach shor es ish. O as isha umeis sakoli sakel ashar vloyachal as pesaro ubal ashar naki, that the bal ashar doesn't have to pay. We just killed the shar, but if it was a muad, the bailim has to pay kofar. Pasuk says the imshar nagachu mitmol shel sham. It was already a shar muad. Then ashar yisakel v'gamba love you must im kofar yushal salav nasam b'dinaf shel kol ashar yushal salav. Doesn't mean we actually killed the bailim. It means that he pays kofar. So even though we already killed the shar the first time that he does the negicha while he was still the tam, it could be that it will still become a muad. The Gemara is going to explain on Memal Vamrav how that could happen. That it could still become a muad even though we should have killed it the first time it ever killed a person, but it could still be a muad for killing a person. So anyway, if a shor, a muad, kills a person, then the apotropos doesn't pay the kofar payment. So man tanu kofar kapar v'yasmanav b'nei kapar ninu, meaning the Gemara right away assesses this price and says, oh, I know why that would be the case. The whole point of a kofar payment is to achieve kapara. Who needs the kapara? The bailum of the shor. The bailum of the shor are yisomim. Yisomim are katanim. Katanim never require kapara. So who's the tana that assumes all of those things? That assumes that kofar is a kapara, and because the bailum is a katan, the katan does not require kapara. Samrav chista, Rabbi Shmuel that is the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho ben Yochanan Broka. Titania, because we have a braisa when it comes to paying kofar, the pasuk says v'nasan pidyo nafsho, that kofar is v'nasan pidyo nafsho. So demei nizik, Tanakama says that means you pay the value of the guy that was killed. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho ben Yochanan Broka omer demei masik. No, you pay the value of the owner of the shor that did the killing. So my lav b'hakamifli, what are they arguing about? Isn't it the following? The Rabbanan who say you pay Dmei Nizik, why are you paying the value of the victim, of the person who was killed? Because it's Mamon. The payment of Kofar is to reimburse the loss that you caused. So there was a person that was worth X amount of dollars. He's no longer here because of your shar. So the Kofar payment is Mamon. You pay for that loss. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho ben Yochanan Broka savar Kofra Kapara. But Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho ben Yochanan Broka holds that no, you're paying Dmei Mazik because it's the owner of the shor who requires a kapara, and therefore the amount that you pay relates to the value of the owner of the shor because he needs a kapara. So you see that Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochanan Broka is the one that holds kufra kapara, and memela it's not going to be shaykh to yasom because katanim do not require kapara. So Amar Papa, lo, no, maybe that's not what the machlokas is about, whether you pay demei mazik or demei nizik. Maybe to kuli alma kufra kapara he. Maybe everyone agrees that kufra is kapara. V'ha'cha b'ha'cha miflugi, the machlokas is Rabbanan Savri b'dinizik shayminan, that when we assess the amount you need to pay for the kapara, the Rabbanan hold you look at the value of the nizik. That's how the Torah was koveya, the kapara, for this for not watching your shor and having your shor kill somebody. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho ben Yochanan Brokas over b'dimazik shayminan, that we assess the kapara based on the value of the mazik and not based on the value of the nizik. But maybe everyone agrees that it's kapara. Well, my time with the Rabbanan, why would the Rabbanan hold that it goes based on the demei nizik? Oh, because we darshan from psukim. Nemar shisa lamata. It says by a shor muad that kills a person, which is our topic, im kofar yushas, a lashon of shisa, v'nemar shisa lamayla. And it says by demei vlados, kasher yashis alav, when in the parsha of demei vlados, when two people were fighting, and one of them strikes a pregnant woman and causes her to lose her pregnancy, kofar yushas, use kasher yoshes alav, use a lashon of shisa. So mala halon bidinizik, just like when you're paying for a woman's loss of pregnancy, you're paying for the value of the vlados themselves, of the nizik. So afkan bidinizik. So too we have this drasha that when a shor kills somebody, you pay the value of the nizik, but it's still a kapara. It's just that we have a drasha that tells me that you pay the value of the nizik. Simple reading of the Gemara is that this is what we call a gzeira shava. This is one of the 13 mitzvot shatar and dresh ban, and therefore we require some sort of mesora that there is such a gzeira shava to darshan these two words. The Ritva just raises the question that there is a klal that ain gzeira shava lemechtsa. The Gemara Menachah says so. Anything that you can learn from one, to, whenever there's a gzeira shava linking two parshios, you got to link them in both directions. So therefore, shouldn't we learn from the gzeira shava that just like the tashlum of the Dmei Avlados is a monetary tashlum and it's not mishum kapara, so too the kufra is also a monetary tashlum, it's mammon and not kapara? Meaning we're saying, oh, this gzeira shava tells me that even though kufra kapara, you're still going to pay bidin nizik because of this gzeira shava. Well, if you really hold the gzeira shava, you got to learn everything and you got to learn that it's mammon and it's not kapara. So the Ritva suggests that the mashmos of the pasuk of pidyon nafsho is what tells me that it's the nefesh of the mazik, that it's a kapara. So we have a pasuk that says beferush that this is kapara, and oh, how do I assess that kapara? That's what I use the gzeira shava for. So it's not a violation of any gzeira shava lemechza because you have an actual pasuk that tells me that it's kapara. Or alternatively, the Ritva suggests this is not a gzeira shava at all, and therefore you cannot ask the question of a gzeira shava. This is an example of yilamit sasu min hamefurash, that by kofar the Torah just says stam and doesn't pay. It doesn't say whether you paid Dmei Mazik or Dmei Nizik, but by the Vlados it says that it's clearly the Dmei Nizik, and therefore we learn from the Lashon Yushas, but it's not a Gzeira Shava that required a Mesorah, that Ein Adam Dan Gzeira Shava Me'atzmo. This is Sasa Min HaMefurush. In fact, the Shidim Gubetzes writes later on in this Masechta, Nim Rabbeinu Tam, that whenever the Gemara says Nemar Lamata V'Nemar Lamaila, it's always Sasa Min HaMefurush. That's not a Lashon of a Gzeira Shava. That's not a Lashon the Gemara uses when it tries to teach me a Gzeira Shava. So anyway, back in the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho ben Yochum ben Broka Savar v'nasan pidyon nafsho ksiv. Why does Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho ben Yochum ben Broka think that you pay the Dmei Mazik? Because it says v'nasan pidyon nafsho, and pidyon nafsho means of the Mazik. V'rabbanan in pidyon nafsho ksiv miu ki shaminan b'din nizik shaminan. Yes, it is a pidyon for the nefesh of the Mazik, but how do we assess the amount that you pay for the pidyon of the nefesh of the Mazik? By the value of the Nizik. So now the Gemara, once we mention the idea of kofar, by Yisomim, the Gemara brings a few sveikos about the dinim of kofar. So Meshabeach le Rav Rav Nachman, the Rav Acha bar Yaakov Dodim Gadolhu. Rav was telling Rav Nachman what a great guy Rav Acha bar Yaakov was, what a gadol b'torah Rav Acha bar Yaakov was. So Amalei Rav Nachman said to Rav, wow, he sounds so impressive. L'kshiyav liyadcha ve'el liyadi. Next time Rav Acha bar Yaakov visits, I'd love to meet him. So Kiyasa l'gabei, when Rav Acha came to meet Rav Nachman, Amalei, so Rav Nachman challenged Rav Acha. By Minayim Milsi, he said, ask me something. So by Minayim, Rav Acha asked Rav Nachman, Shor Shoshnei Shutafin, Ketzan Mishalim Kofar. Meaning, challenge him, ask me a good kasha. So he said, okay, I'll ask you the following kasha. If you have a shor that's owned by two people and that shor kills somebody, how do you pay the kofar? You know, when it comes to nezek, it's pashut that each one pays the chatzi nezek, because the whole point of paying a nezek is to make the guy whole again, that you caused him damage, so you have to make sure that he gets fully paid back. So as long as he gets half payment from each of the owners, he's getting fully paid back. But by kofar, the ikar is for the kapara of the mazik. So each one needs a kapara, and neither one could get kapara with only a chatzi kofar. So how do you get them each kapara? So do they so mishalim high kofar v'high kofar? Does each one pay a kofar shalem? Well, kofar echad amarachman v'lo shnei kofarin. The Torah says you only have to pay one kofar, not two kofars. So what do you want to say? High chatzi kofar v'high chatzi kofar? Let each one pay a chatzi kofar. Kofar shalem amarachman v'lo chatzi kofar. The Torah never says you pay chatzi kofar. It says that you pay kofar shalem. Tosus points out in Dibra Maskel Kofar, really? You never pay Chatzi Kofar? A short time that kills, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, pays Chatzi Kofar. We learned back on Daf Tezvav Amid Aleph. And if you kill a Chatzi Av v'Chatzi Ben Chorin, the Gemara in Gittin Membeis Amid Beis says that you're Meshalim Chatzi Kofar. So Tosus says, no, that's where the Iker Chiyuv was only a Chatzi. And therefore, you could have a Chatzi Kofar. But over here, the Chiyuv is a Kofar Shalem. So since it's the Chiyuv is a Kofar Shalem, we never find by a Chiyuv of Kofar Shalem that a single party will only pay a chatzi kofar. So Adi Yasav Kamayin. But while Rav Nachman was thinking about this question, Rav Acha said, I got another kasha for you. Amalei, Tanan, it says in the Mishnah Maseches Arachin, Chayav Arachin Mimashkinin Osan. Chayav Chatos Vashamos Ein Mimashkinin Osan. If a person commits Erech Yalai or Erech Ploni Yalai, an Erech vow that he's going to pay to the Beis HaMikdash, where he has to give the Beis HaMikdash based on the Erech that the Torah assigns, so the Gizbar of Hegdish is allowed to take a Mashkon for that commitment. He can go into his house and take something from him that is equal the value of what he committed, because that payment is not there for kapara, and therefore we have to worry that maybe he's not going to follow through and pay it. So the gizbar is allowed to come and see to it that it gets paid. As opposed to, if a person is chayiv, a karban chatos, karban asham, where he needs a kapara, you're not allowed to take a mashkon, because you could trust that he's going to take care of it. He needs the kapara, so he's going to be motivated to take care of it himself. So chayav kofrin mai. But what if a person is chayiv kofer? So the yorshe, are the yorshe and nizik allowed to take a mashkon to collect the kofer bal karcho or not? So kibud the kapara u'kechatas v'asham. I mean, on the one hand, maybe we should say, well, since it's a kapara, it's like a chatas v'asham, mechamer chamer yilavei v'lo bayi mashkone, and therefore you don't need to take a mashkon because he'll take it very seriously. Odilma kibud al-chavri u'dubayi miyasvelei, or maybe no, maybe since this is not, you pay this payment of kofar to another person, v'lo l'gvoahu, and it doesn't get paid to the Beis HaMikdash, mamonu v'lo chamer yilavei mashkone. Maybe he'll just view that not really as a kofar, he'll view it almost as if it's mamon, and it's not going to be so chashuv in his eyes, and you need to, and therefore you're allowed to take a mashkon inami. Or we could say another svara that you could take a mashkon kivudu hulo chata mone huda azik. Since the bala shard is not the one that did the avera, it's his shard that did the hezik. Lo chamer milsi lavei ubayi mashkune. Maybe he's not going to think it's such a serious matter, and therefore you're allowed to take a mashkon from him to ensure payment. So that's my second shaila about kofar that Rav Acha asks to Rav Nachman. So the first question was a shor shel shnei shlufin, how do you handle kofar? And the second question was, do you take a mashkon for a kofar payment? So I'm like, shavkon istaga b'kamaisa. You already quieted me with the first one. I didn't have an answer to the first question, and now you're peppering me with another question. Leave me alone. So Rav Nachman never. That's it. That's the end of the story. He doesn't give an answer to anything. The Rambam in Hilchos Kemamon Parakura Alachas Dalin Hey paskins that a shor shel shnei shlufim each shutaf pays kofar shalei. And he says mimashkinin ala kofer, that we take a mashkin kofer, meaning he's machmir in both cases. Like Mishra points out, normally the halacha is when it's a suffik mamon, we always go lekula on the nitva, but over here it's a suffik kapara. So a suffik kapara, we're going to be machmir in order to ensure that the person can be certain that he has a kapara. Okay, new discussion now. Tana Rabbanan sha'alo b'cheskas tava. Bryce says person borrows a shor from someone, from his friend, with the chazaka that it's not a shor muad, v'nimtza muad. But it turns out, you find out after a course, oh, by the way, it was a shor muad previously. So, bailim shalom chatzi nezek, the bailim pays the chatzi nezek that's beyond the tamus, because it was a muad, and he didn't tell the other guy that it was a muad, the shalom shalom chatzi nezek. But the shoal was still has to pay chatzi nezek, because even if it were a tam, he'd be paying chatzi nezek. Huad bebeis shoal, if a shor became a muad while it was by the shoal, v'chziru lebailim, and then he returned it to the bailim, bailim shalom chatzi nezek, v'shoal the Bailim would pay Chatzi Nezek, and the Shoel doesn't have to pay anything because it's backed by the Bailim, and the Shita Rishus is Mishana, so it goes back to being a Tam, and only the Bailim has to worry about it. So Amar Mar Nela, to analyze this price. Shoel b'cheskas tamanim tzumur, I borrowed a Shoel from you, and you told me it was a Tam, it was a calm, nice Shoel, never did anything before, and it turned out that it was really a Muad, and now it does damage. So Bailim Mishal Chatzi Nezek, Mishal Chatzi Nezek, they each pay Chatzi Nezek. Vamai, why is the Shoel have to pay at all? Lemalei Torah she'ili Arya lo she'ili. Shouldn't the Shoal be able to tell the Bailim, I borrowed an ox, I didn't borrow a lion, meaning I had no idea that this was a dangerous animal, so I would have watched it differently. So Amarav, yeah, the Bailim still has to pay. In such a case, the Bailim should have had to pay the whole Nezek. But now the case is that the Shoal knew that it was a wild animal, he just didn't know that it had actually gored three times and become a Shar Muad, but he knew that it was a rough, you know, it was a pretty pretty rough animal, and therefore he should have watched it more carefully. V'nei, but why can't he say tam she'ili mu'a lo she'ili? Granted, I knew it was a wild animal, but I thought it was a tam. I didn't know that it was a mu'ad. So I wasn't mekabel on myself the shmira that you need for a mu'ad. But even if it was a tam, you'd still have to pay chatinezek. So pay the chatinezek that you would have had to pay anyway if it was what you thought Why can't he say, yeah, but if it was a tam, the payment comes from the guf of the shor, so the hefsid would go entirely to the bailim. But now that it's a mu'ad, they're collecting from other nechasim, and I'm losing out. So the Gemara answers, no, mishum da'amale, the bailim could say to the shoal, sof at lav torah ba'a shlumi l'didi, meaning even if they would collect the chatzi nezek from the guf of the shor, you'd still would have to return another shor to me, because you borrowed a shor from me. A shoal has to return to the bailim whatever he borrowed. So you would have lost, even if it was collecting migufo. So therefore, you lose now as well. Says Mar Vinemale, why can't the shoal say to the bailim, im tam have a modin miftarina? If it was a shor tam, I would have been modin and bezdin that the shor gored before Edim were to come, and then I would have been potter, because chatzi nezek is a knas, and modin b'knas potter. Now it's a shor mu'ad, it's not a knas anymore. I have no out by being modin. I could have otherwise come to bezdin before the Edim. I could have beaten the Edim to bezdin, been modin, and been totally potter. And even if you want to say that chatzi nezek of a tam is mamon and is not kenas, and therefore there's no way of being moda b'kenas and being moda and becoming potter, but name alay, still the shul could say to the bailim, itamu have a ma'arik nalei la'agma. If it was a short tam, I could have brought it to the agam somewhere far away where no one would have found it, and they never would have been able to collect the chatzi nezek, because a short tam, you can only pay megufo, and if I'm hiding the shor, you'll never find it, and you can't collect megufo. So the Gemara says that the case where the Shaul is chayiv chatzi nezek, even though he didn't know it was a shor mu'ad, al hach ma'eskinon kagon da'aktim beidin of v'tafsei. It's about a case where the bezin went and was toe-face the shor, where you didn't have a chance to go hide it in the agam. So yachi, if the Bryce is talking about a case where bezin grabbed the shor from the shaul, Bailim amay mishal mechatzi nezek. Why does the Bailim have to pay chatzi nezek that he's chayiv mishum the mu'ad shabo? Name alay, can't the Bailim say to the shaul at faste l'toroi biyada man? You were matfis my shor in the hands of someone that I can't be omid bedin with him to take my shor from, because you shouldn't have allowed Beis Din to grab my shor. So as the Gemara mishum da amar lei, the shol say back to the bailim, look, if I would have returned it to you, Beis Din would have taken it from you. So you don't lose from the fact that Beis Din took it from me. You can't blame me. If I would have given it back to you, they would have taken it from you. But couldn't the Bailim say, no, have my agba. If you would have given it back to me, I would have been quicker in hiding it and getting it out of an agam where they would not have been able to collect it. But you were too slow, and Beis Din found it, and Beis Din was able to collect it from you. So Mishum Damle, sof la me'ali, av mishtalmi. The shol could say to the Bailim, in the end of the day, since the shor is a mu'ad, Beis Din is going to collect from you no matter what. Meaning, Beis Din doesn't need to collect from the shor. Beis Din would have gone into your house and taken your nechasim, because of for a shor mu'ad, you collect min aliyah. So says Mar Hani Chayecha di Islay Nichse. That works very well. That's a good taina if the Bailim actually has nechasim from which to collect. But in a case where the Bailim doesn't have any nechasim from which to collect, what's the shovel's response going to be to the taina of the Bailim? Meaning, after all, the Bailim could say, I would have been mavriach the shor to an agam. Beis Din never would have found it. They never would have collected anything. They can't collect from anything else I've got, because I don't got anything else. I have nothing. So that's the Gemara. Mishum da'amalei, the shol could still say to the Bailim, just like I have to return the shor to you, so do I have to pay the shor to the nizik, mid Rabbi Nosson. And that's based on the shita of Rabbi Nosson. How do I know that if Ruvain has a tvias mamon on Shimon, that Shimon owes him money, he borrowed money from him, and Shimon has a tvias mamon on Levi, how do I know that we could take the money from Levi and give it directly to Reuven, that since Reuven owes money, since Shimon owes money to Reuven, so Levi is Meshubah to Reuven as well, is considered his Balchov, meaning if A owes B and B owes C, you can go straight from A to C. You could take the money from A and give it to C. Tabalomer, because the Pasuk says when it comes to someone who steals money and is Nishba L'Sheker, when he's Moda for his sin, the Pasuk says, V'nasan la'asher ashamlo, that you give the gzela to the person who really deserves the money. So it sounds like even if he's not the one that you stole from, but there's a shibud because the nigzal owes that guy the money. So I don't have to return to the guy I stole it from. If the guy I stole it from owes it to somebody else, I can go directly to that somebody else, and Beis Din go directly to that somebody else and give it to that somebody else. So over here as well, the shor that was mazik, the bailam has to pay to the nizik. So the shol could say, I'm doing you a favor, I'm paying for you, and therefore you can't say, oh, you would have hid the shor, you would have, you have a responsibility over here, so I'm taking care of your responsibility to pay up what you really owed. So the Gemara, Rashi points out, the Gemara doesn't ask, and if you don't hold of Rabbi Nassan, then what would you say? Because we do paschal like Rabbi Nassan. So since we paschal, this is what we call shibudud Rabbi Nassan. It's a famous concept throughout Shas, that shibudud Rabbi Nassan, that the shibud goes from A to C, and it skips over the middle party. Okay, new discussion. We said, who had bebe shol, not totally new, we mentioned in the Brisa, who had bebe shol, v'chziru lebailim, bailim l'shan l'chatzi nezik v'shol potem yiklum. If it became a muad while it was being borrowed, and then you return it back to the bailim, so the, and then it gores again, it's a tam. The bailim pays chatzi nezik, the shol doesn't have to pay anything. So sefer reshus mishana, that sounds like as soon as it goes back to the original owner, it starts with a clean slate and it becomes a tam, a new reshus, and everything changes. Resha reshus ain't a mishana, but in the resha we said reshus is not mishana. In the resha it also changed hands because it became a muad in the base bailim and then he lent it out, and yet we still said that there's going to be a nezek shalim between the two of them. So it says Gemara three approaches. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tavra Mishana Zula Shana Zula Enochanami. It's a machlok as a reflection of two different shitos in that brisa. One shita that Rishus Mashana, another Rishus not Mashana. Rabba Amar, Midereshu Rishus Eina Mashana, Seifa Nami, Rishus Eina Mashana. They're both assuming Rishus Eina Mashana, Seifa Hainu Taima. Why in the Seifa do we assume that the Bailam only has to pay Chatzi Nezek? Misham Dvei, Lav Kalk Minach, Miyad Lutorai. You can't make my Sharamuad. You, the borrower, can't make my Shara Muad. I would have watched it better. It never would have been a Muad if I was the one in charge. Rav Papa Amar, third approach. The whole Bryce is assuming that Rishos Mashana, that it starts with the clean slate. Reisha Hainu Taima, when it says in the Reisha that even though the Shara went from the Rishos HaBailim to the Rishos HaShoel, it remains a Muad. It was never Mashana Rishos. When I lend you my Shara, it's still somewhat in my possession, the Bailim's possession, because it always has the shame Bailim on it, and therefore it's not an actual Shina Rishlis. But when the Shoel returns it to the Bailim, it's now not, it has no Shaychus to the Shoel anymore, and that's an actual Shina Rishlis. So again, three approaches. One approach is that two opinions, whether Rishlis Mashana, are both reflected in the Brisa. Second approach is that Rishlis is clearly Eina Mishana, and third approach is that Rishus is clearly yes Mishana. Okay, now Sharet Stadin Einu Chayv Misa. We said that a stadium Sharet that kills, you know, is not going to be Chayv Misa because it's Kiyigach and not Shiyagichuhu. So Yivayilu Malu Gabi Mizbech. So if the Sharet Stadin kills, can you bring it as a carbon? So Rav Amar Kasher Shmuel Amar Pasul. Rav Amar Kasher Anusu. It's Kasher for a carbon. It didn't do anything wrong. It was an onus. They were prompting it to do this. Ushmuel Amar Pasul Harin of Baver. I don't care how it happened, but bottom line is, it killed a man. So if this shark killed a man, it cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. So Meisveh, so the Gemara challenges, we have a Braisa. Pasuk says, so we darshin what types of animals are right to be brought as a korban from each phrase in that pasuk. Mina behema, only mina behema, lohtzi esra ve'evas anirba. That an animal that was involved in bestiality is possible for a korban. Mina bakar, lohtzi esaneva. That excludes anyone and an animal that was used, that was worshipped for avodah zarah. Mina tzon, lohtzi esamukta. That excludes an animal that was designated for use of avodah zarah. U'minatzon, the extra vav, lo tiyasa nogeach. That excludes an animal that gored a person and killed a person, that it cannot be brought on the mizbeach. So Amar Rabbi Shimon, im nema roveah, lama nema nogeach, v'nema nogeach, lama nema roveah. Both the din of a nogeach and the din of a roveah are the same, that the animal is supposed to get killed. So why does the pasuk have to tell me that both are possible? Because each one has a chumrah that the other one does not have. Roveah asa ba'ones karatzon. By a roveah, even if it happened ba'ones, it has the same din as if it happened baratzon, whereas nogeach lo asa ba'ones karatzon. By nogeach, that's not the case. So nogeach, and on the flip side, nogeach mishalim kofer. A nogeach pays kofer if it was a mu'ad to kill a person. Roveah einu mishalim es ha-kofer. Leficha chutzuchlom roveah vutzuchlom nogeach. That's why it has to tell me both a roveah and a nogeach cannot be brought as a korban. Ooh, katani mias. But what did it say in this analysis? That roveah asaba onus karatzon, nogeach lo asaba onus karatzon. That if an animal gores ba'ones, we don't treat it the same as if it gores baratzon. So what do you mean you don't treat it the same? Lav lekarbon, doesn't that mean that an animal is only pasul lekarbon if it was nogeach baratzon? But if it was nogeach ba'ones, it's kosher to be brought as a karbon? So isn't this a raya that a sharit stadin, which killed ba'ones, is going to be kosher to be brought as a karban? Says Gemara, lo l'ktala. No, it just means as far as whether the animal gets killed, that if the animal killed ba'ones, it doesn't get killed. Only if it killed baratzon does it get killed. But maybe as far as karban is concerned, it's possible for a karban regardless. Hachinami mistaver, and it's most mistaver to assume that way, that it's about whether you kill the animal, and it's not about whether it's brought as a karban, because for sure it would not be brought as a karban. Diyam of the karban, because if it were about being brought as a karban, nogeach lo asaba ones keratzon lav ones didekziv lav ratzon didekziv. The Torah does not talk about the ones or the ratzon of a nogeach. El lav l'ktala. So it must be that it's talking about the hariga of the behema, because that's where the chiluk between ones and ratzon appears. So the Mishnah says that a sharet stadin doesn't get killed because it says ki yigach v'lo sheyagichuhu. So that's where we find an explicit chiluk between ones and ratzon. We don't find that in the parsha of Karban. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Mar toward the bottom of the page. Okay, everyone have a good day. Oh, yeah.